Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, B, they ready. Let's go.
I'm feeling myself.
I'm with some hood girls looking back at it, and a good girl in my tax bracket. Got a black card and less sex habit. These Chanel bags is a bad habit. I do balls, Dale Mavericks. My Maybach, black Maddie. Bitch never left, but I'm back at it. And I'm feeling myself, Jack Rabbit. Feeling myself, back off, cause I'm feeling myself, Jack off. Maybe think about me when he whacks off. Wax on? National anthem, hats off. Then I curve that nigga like a bad horse. Let me get a number two with some Mac sauce. Or on a run tour with my mask off.
I'm feeling myself.
Days the game when that digital dropped. Know where you was when that digital popped. I shot the world. Male or female, it make no difference. I shot the world. World stop.
Carry on.
Pussy on feet. Pretty gang, always keep them niggas on deep. Riding through Texas, feed them for his breakfast. Every time I whip it, I be talking so reckless. He said, damn, Nikki is tight. I said, yeah, nigga, you right. He said, damn, babe, you so little, but you be really taking that pipe. I said, yes, daddy, I do. Give me brain like NYU. I said, teach me, nigga, teach me. All this learning here is by you.
I'm whipping that work, he's digging that work. I got it. 36 for that real, pack it full of that bounce, baby. Come get you some of that bounce, baby.
I'm feeling myself.
Cooking up that bass, looking like a kilo. He just wanna taste. Bitches ain't got punchlines or flow. I have both and an empire also. Keep getting gifts from Santa Claus at the North Pole. Today I'm icy, but I'm praying for some more snow. Let that hoe know.
He in love with that
cook.
Why these bitches don't ever be learning? You bitches will never get what I be earning. I'm still getting plaques for my records. That's urban. Ain't gotta rely on top 40. I am my rap legend. Just go ask the kings of rap. Who is the queen and things of that nature? Look at my finger. That is a glacier. Hits like a laser. Tripping on that work. Trippin' off that perk, flippin' up my skirt, and I be whippin' all at work, taking trips with all them keys, car keys got bees, singin' with the queen bee, and we be whippin' all of that D, cause we dope girls, we
flawless,
we the poster girls for owlers, we run around with them bowlers, only real niggas in my cowlers, I'm the big kahuna, go let them whores know, just on this song alone, bitches on her fourth floor. You like it, don't you?
Snitches.
Young Money.
Good evening, everyone. It's Jessica Baptiste. Hope everyone is well. I hope everyone had a fantastic and wonderful Valentine's Day last week. Actually, this is my first show since I got my voice back. The last show that I did, I was a little bit under the weather and sounded a little bit froggy. I have a wonderful co-host that's going to be joining me in a sec. His name is James Caldwell. I follow him on YouTube. I actually got into listening to his commentary on various shows that I watched during the week, and he is absolutely adorable and absolutely a complete wonderful person, and I'm going to bring James on now. You there?
Good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Good, good, good. How's the weather in your neck of the woods?
It is cold. It's 35, like somewhere between 35 and 37 degrees here in Pittsburgh. So a little bit cold, but
wow,
not snowing and stuff. So, you know, we'll take it.
Yeah, that's my area of the country. My I was born actually in Erie, Pennsylvania. So
okay,
I have
I
got family up there. So yeah, I'm pretty close to y'all in Pittsburgh right now. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. So it's sunny here, and it was, I think it got to 65, close to 70. So I had the windows open in the house while I was doing things around the house today. So it was actually very, very pleasant, you know, contrast to y'all 35 up there.
We have months before we are able to do any of that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I think the groundhog, did he see his shadow this year?
I have no idea. I don't even follow him. I don't even pay it any attention. I know that it's not going to be even bearable before Easter. So
wow.
I don't even follow him.
Yeah, I mean, I used to, but, you know, the past couple of years, Phil's been off key a lot. Like it's I don't even know why they do it anymore. It's just, I don't know. Groundhog Day just slips me. I know in February it's Groundhog Day, it's Valentine's Day and President's Day. And the reason I remember President's Day is because that's when they have all the sales.
Okay.
that's when everybody has their sales, is during President's
Day. Yes, they
do. That's the only reason. Yeah, and I also know that banks and most government entities are closed on President's Day. So it's almost like, all right, you know, if I got to do any, you know, business at the bank, or, you know, by chance have to go to a government building or whatever, I know it's probably going to be closed on President's Day. Other than that, February is a very short month. I can't believe we're at the end of the month. You know, this is the last whole week of the month, so it's just been
absolutely.
It's been a good month.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad. Can't complain too much. But yeah,
no.
I blocked that groundhog from all my social media years ago.
I don't blame you on that one. I don't blame you. But one reason I wanted you on the show, James, is because I absolutely live for your videos. Every time that I watch either the Haves or Have Nots, or If Loving You Is Wrong, or even watching the new American Crime Story, the Gianni Versace, which I'm totally, totally enthralled with this season. I wait until the next day and to hear your commentary, because you don't miss a beat with these shows, especially the nitpicky parts that some people might miss, you just catch. And so I just really became a fixture on watching and looking for your videos. I even think that you do commentary on the Housewives of Atlanta, which I haven't been watching this season. I'm watching the last episode that I saw from start to finish was the one where they went to the Reader, and Kim and her kind of got into it, and she was talking about she wanted to clean Kim off. Or something she said. She wanted to do something to Kim. Because Kim came in with a funky attitude. Other than that, I really haven't been keeping up with that this whole season. But how did you get started into doing the commentary on YouTube?
It's so funny. It was a friend of mine. Her name is Terry.
Uh-huh.
And Terry had said, why don't you go on and do reviews on shows over there? Well, it was one show in particular. It was RuPaul's Drag Race. Why don't you go over there and do commentary on there and review the show over on YouTube? Because I was already doing, I had two shows of my own on public television in my area, where I would do spoken word, and I would interview people sometimes. And she's like, I think you should go over to YouTube. And it was literally my girlfriend Terry that suggested it. And I said, you know, I said, okay, I'll try that. And I went over with RuPaul's Drag Race, and within 6 months, I had actually been opened up to a whole world of other shows that I wasn't even watching. I always watched Real Housewives of Atlanta from the beginning. But Love and Hip Hop, I didn't watch Love and Hip Hop at all. That was the suggestion of the people who actually watch me, my subscribers, my family, there on YouTube. All of it started from Terry saying, RuPaul, okay, no problem. And then I met my subscribers, and they took it from there. We began building as a family.
Okay. That sounds really, really awesome. I know that you have, I think when I looked the other day, it's like 20,000 subscribers or something like that. I saw it's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, I'm always on YouTube. Like, I'm on YouTube or I watch Amazon Prime a lot. But very rarely during the week do I watch, you know, anything other than, like, my shows. Like, I don't have any of my shows come on tomorrow. But I started by chance just getting in, just being kind of inquisitive, wanting to know the Tyler Perry shows. The have and have not can't really get my attention too much unless a lot's going on. But if Loving You is wrong, I just like watching it, too, because I like looking at Eddie and Steven. I will admit, they are so, Eddie is just absolutely a gorgeous man. And so I just watched that and to see, you know, how crazy he acts. But Season, it's just, it's so dragging. It is dragging. It's like, what now? It's the same day. In Tyler Perry land on the show, how many months have transpired since Alex had the baby? Because the baby's like, 3 days old?
Exactly. That baby is literally still in swaddling clothing. Tyler really, Mr. Perry really does stretch things out. It's hard.
It's very hard.
I stay in a lot because I was always a fan of, like, nighttime soap operas. Even when I was a little boy and I wasn't old enough to watch, I would want to watch, but I had to go to bed. So I've always been drawn to, and now this is like the return of the dynasties and the Flamingo Road and all of those things and Dallas and Falcon Crest. See, I'm dating myself now. But
Exactly. But they would stay up watching. Like, my great grandmother, when we would go, me and my sister and my cousin would be at my great grandmother's house during a week, and she would watch Dynasty. And if you changed that channel when Dynasty came on, that was your ass. They were so Dynasty, Dallas, Falcon Crest. I don't know if you remember one, Hotel. Do you remember that one, Hotel?
I do, and Knott's Landing, too.
yeah. And it was like you cannot change. But you know what? And I know this is kind of going to sound kind of weird. They just don't make shows like that anymore. You will never be able to top Joan Crawford and Diane Carroll and who was Crystal? Linda Evans. You will never top them with the clothes they wore, because Alexis Harrington was always ragged. I don't care. It could be death. It could be utter death around her. Everything that she wore was on point. And that's what I liked. And I know that's the 80s, and, you know, you can never repeat that. But, damn it, I watched on Amazon Prime in the New York Minute, which I did last weekend, and I see why they were so into the whole Dynasty, you know, kind of era with everything. And it was a very interesting show, very over the top like Tyler Perry. But I just watched the Tyler Perry shows on OWN because, to me, it's laughable. I mean, the acting sometimes is a little bit, you know, bad. But especially when Kelly killed – what's that kid's name? The stalker, Travis, when she shot him.
It was Kelly's acting all season. has been bad.
How does this guy, the whole town is helping him? I mean,
because it's Tyler Perry land. That's why.
The whole town is helping.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. If Loving You is well, the acting period is really questionable over there. And like you said, their draw to their show is actually male eye candy. Everybody in all the Tyler Perry shows, he has the most, hands down, the most beautiful cast
on
all of his shows. Most beautiful cast of people. But by far, the males on If Loving You Is Wrong are outstanding. Now, over there on the Half and the Half Not, the males and the females are running a close race. Everybody is just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody. Yeah. Catherine Cryer is even a beautiful four-figure Caucasian woman. She's beautiful.
Yes, she really is.
Jim Cryer I could do without.
Yeah.
But
Jim,
I mean,
I'm just sick of him anyway.
Oh, he's ridiculous. He's another one. But then he's a judge. And this ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But over there,
and
that takes place
in Savannah.
There's some people that shouldn't be there. Like Crystal
Fox. Like who do you think?
Crystal Fox, who plays Hannah, she shouldn't be there because she is kind of downgrading what her potential is by being there. She is a dynamic actress.
She really
turns things out like every other week. She's given these stellar performances.
Yes.
I'm like, that would be good for the show. That was absolutely good for the show.
Exactly. Remember when she was on In the Heat of the Night? Yeah, she played the rookie female cop on In the Heat of the Night. And so I will watch shows. Like the other day, I was I actually came home early and from work, and I was watching In the Heat of the Night, and it was, and I'm sorry for everyone out there that's listening. Yes, I like In the Heat of the Night. I like the movie with Sidney Poitier, but I like Howard Rawlings. And the thing about it was I remember watching when I was younger, In the Heat of the Night. And then when I got older, there was a movie Howard Rawlings was in called Ragtime, and he actually got nominated for an Oscar. So to me, mm-hmm. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, you did Ragtime, you did A Soldier Story. And if anyone, especially during Black History Month, I will, to all my listeners, my African-American listeners, my Caucasian listeners, please watch A Soldier Story. Because in that movie, this movie came out in the early 80s, you have Denzel in that movie, you have Robert Townsend in that movie, you have Howard Rawlings in that movie. I even think Blair Underwood is in it for a hot minute. But I'm not going to give away the whole plot of the story. But it takes place during the South in the segregated army unit during World War II. And I really just love that story. But Howard Rawlings was great in that movie. And then when I see him doing In the Heat of the Night, I'm like, why weren't you offered more roles than what you were given? Even Carol Connor. I mean, he was Archie Bunker, and he wrote most of the storylines on In the Heat of the Night. I didn't know that. He wrote under a pen name. You could tell when he was writing, he did the earlier seasons because the storylines were actually a little bit more relevant. Then the show kind of got silly after a while. But I thoroughly agree with Crystal Fox. She, even the lady that plays Catherine, when she did that read, I forget, it was like one of the first seasons with Candace, about, she called her number nine. Remember, she called Jim.
She called her nine.
Called her nine. And that whole read, I'm like, why are you still on this show? Because I know you can get other parts. You and Crystal Fox need to talk to y'all's agents or talk to y'all's manager, because y'all need to be doing like some other shows. Because those two ladies, hands down, on Have and Have Nots are the best actresses. They really, really are. If Loving You Is Wrong, I don't know if there's really any great
actors, actresses on Is Loving You. I would say the guy that plays Lucian, he tries.
Absolutely.
He tries to save scenes.
Yeah.
You could tell he's trying to save a scene. He really does. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out on If Loving You Is Wrong. Where is Randall's mother? Where is Natalie's son? Where is the missing cop? What was the missing cop's name? The one...
Andrew.
Yeah. Where are these people?
Yes, Tilda, Julian. Well, all of them are just gone. That whole storyline is just gone.
It's gone.
Joey, we haven't seen Joey at all. Yeah, it's just gone. He's just... But then again, remember, we've gone from Friday evening... And for two seasons, we've only made it to Sunday morning before church. So,
yeah, that's
go
true.
Go figure, you know?
A mess. Yeah.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. Who do you think the father of Marcy's baby is?
I believe, okay, Tyler Perry Land. I believe that it will actually... I believe it's going to be Randall, but I don't think she's actually going to have a good chance to have the baby anyway. I don't think she's going to be able to have it anyway. I think he's going to take the lazy way out, which is what my gripe is a lot with Tyler Perry Land. The writing is lazy. It's lazy.
It's very lazy.
And I think that they will make her miscarry just so they can move on to something else. That's just my feeling. That's my feeling.
No.
Because I think it's just... I think they're too lazy to actually attack it the way they should.
So funny that you talk about the writing, because I know you're a writer, and I'm a writer too. It's hard for me to watch these shows because I already know what's going to happen. It's like I kept saying that Kelly was going to kill Travis. I said either Kelly's going to kill Travis or Lucian is going to kill Travis. The storyline with Travis is not going to keep – it's getting crazy. The whole town is cooperating with him. There's going to have to be a dramatic thing where either he gets killed, or I kept thinking that his brother, Donovan, was going to be doing some stuff. But I think that Donovan and Travis are twins. That's what I think. And I think that Donovan, the guy that plays Travis, is going to be – Donovan, and we're going to meet Donovan soon. But I do agree with you, the writing is very lazy.
And there's so many things that he could do and so many directions
exactly.
that he could go. You can be dramatic, because Lord knows I'm dramatic, and I'll go there. When I start writing, I'm not so connected to any of my characters. I'll kill them all. You know, if it gets my point across. I will kill them all to make certain that you are still paying attention to what I'm serving.
Exactly.
But
and
I just don't get it. If he wanted to really make it interesting, he would have had Kelly's son kill Travis. There's a whole thing that he could have built with that, because that little boy is so into Travis that if he would have had to actually go through the mental thing of starting to not like him because of what he's done to his mother, and then kill him. We got a whole other season of things to deal with.
Exactly. Exactly. Then he comes out.
Too much work.
Exactly. He comes out with Alex's baby is not Randall's. Well, how did that happen? The doctor says that she wasn't going to put her career on the line to manipulate a paternity test. So how do you explain who the father of this baby is, because it can't be anyone else unless there was something we didn't see.
Exactly. That's Tyler Perry Land, something very lazy. I'm thinking, and I'm forecasting, that it's going to be a whole completely new character. It's going to be some African-American man that we haven't even met
yet.
Oh, Lord. Because that's the lazy way.
I can't. I don't know. And then this whole thing with Larry and Randall, and it was so funny because I saw your commentary before the season finale last season where you said, I think them girls was bumping pocketbooks. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like this is where this is going. Sure enough.
Absolutely.
Larry is crazy. And I like the character of Larry because – but the thing I don't like
Larry and Eddie, and you were right, they are, both of them are ridiculous. Both of them have no scruples, no morals, no conscience at all. But I wish this whole Larry in the U-Haul truck getting beat up, come on. It's getting to be
hard to watch. It's getting to be a little.
It is.
A little Jigsaw-esque.
Yeah.
It's taking me to a place that I don't really want to go.
No. And that, I like Tyler Perry, the shows. I'm not really big on the movies, again, because they're so predictable. And because
Absolutely.
When I go, yeah, like me and my friends went to go see the new 50 Shades yesterday. And we literally sat there, and I'm like, first and foremost, my whole thing on 50 Shades is I think 50 Shades is a ripoff of other books that I have read. I think it's a ripoff of, have you seen, what's it, the James Spader movie with Maggie Gyllenhaal, Secretary? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Please watch that, because I think that they borrowed a little bit of that. I mean, it's a dark comedy, but it's kind of like 50 Shades. And
okay.
I think that they borrowed there's a book called The Story of O. And I think that they really borrow The Story of O. But in The Story of O, it's a lot more graphic than 50 Shades. So we're just in a movie theater, me and my girlfriends yesterday, and we're just watching it. And I'm like, why am I watching this movie? I mean, really, why am I doing this? Because I already know what's going to happen. The conflict is so basic, and it's so easy to fix. It's like, why would y'all make this movie? Why?
Yeah, that's so heartbreaking.
It really is, because the first book, I kind of liked it. I read it. And I kind of liked it, but I mean, there's this movie, it's like, what's the Girls Trip? I can't watch that. Now, I'm definitely going to go see Black Panther. The only reason I didn't go this weekend is because I want to watch it where I could actually enjoy it and I don't have to hear people around me getting all hyped up and crazy with it. So I'm going to go probably.
I did a review about it myself because I went to see it on Friday. And with me
okay.
being in Pittsburgh, I didn't run into that. I literally ran to.
Really?
I went to a new showing, and I had like 7 seats around me that were empty. And it just wasn't. Yeah, I didn't have. I said in my review, I'm going to go back to see it in a different side of town so that I actually
okay.
can experience the loud, you know, situation,
yes.
the loud situation and the people being hyped up. I want to experience it that way as well. But I will tell you this, and I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay.
I love superheroes and all of that stuff. I love all of that. Black
yes.
Panther, by far, has the screenplay that I have ever seen in any of these movies in my full 46 years.
Wow.
It is a good story. It flows like a regular movie. It doesn't flow like a fantasy movie or a children's movie or one
uh-huh.
of those superhero flicks. It literally has a story with a storyline, and it flows. It doesn't have any dead spots. It doesn't get boring. It doesn't start drawing out. It is just done beautifully.
Oh, wow. See, that makes me even want to see it more.
I think you will really respect the writing. I know I did. I was just, my mouth was dropped open. I said, you've got to be kidding me. They have done a fantastic job with this.
And that's so good to hear, because a lot of people, and I mean, I'm on social media a lot, but, you know, when you have an all-black cast in a superhero movie, people really don't see the significance. I remember the last superhero movie I went this crazy about that I can say in my lifetime was probably, well, Deadpool kind of. The only reason that I was a little bit loony for Deadpool is because I used to read the comics. And
okay.
I was a big comic person when I was a teenager. But the last time I went like this, I should say ape shit crazy over a comic book, anything, was probably Batman, the very, very, very first Batman with Michael Keaton. And the only reason I was that excited about it was because Jack Nicholson played the Joker. Actually, the second one I like because Michelle Pfeiffer was Catwoman and Danny DeVito was the Penguin. But I could get crazy about it. But I like the fact that it's getting so much attention. It's getting such positive reviews because superhero movies either it's going to be a great one or it's not going to be a great one. I want them to do Gambit and it's shelved and I'm just like, why? Please, and I wanted Jared Leto to play Gambit. The only reason I wanted him to play Gambit was because he's from Louisiana and Gambit's from the Bayou. So I wanted him to play Gambit, but they're going to do the Gambit movie. Oh, they're not going to do the Gambit movie. Oh, yeah, it's going to be done. I'm just like, forget it. I'm just going to go and watch Deadpool 2 and see But you know what? Deadpool, and I don't know if you read the comics, he was so mean to Blind Al. Like, in the comics, he's abusive. He really is. He's mean to that old lady. He smacks her. They talk crap to each other. And I didn't see that in the movie. I saw a little bit of it. But, I mean, it's abuse in the comics. So they didn't stay true to that relationship. But I wish that they would do something with more comic book movies. But I'm glad that this one is getting, you know, a good review. I did catch up on the Gianni Versace American Crime. I'm gonna be honest with you. This episode that came on last week was hard to watch. It was hard to watch.
The last two have given me a moment. It takes me back to that time where. In our world, we were dealing with that serial killer thing, and it was a strange time, you know. And it gives me a very eerie feeling, and it did even when that was going on. It was rough.
It was rough, and the thing about it is that makes it so different. I talked about this on my last show when I had my girlfriends on. Think about the American crime stories they've done. They did OJ last season. They're doing Gianni Versace this season. I think next season they said they're going to do either Hurricane Katrina or Monica Lewinsky. If they go the route of Monica Lewinsky, you're talking about OJ was 94, Gianni Versace was 97, Monica Lewinsky was 98. You're talking about all three of these stories and all three of these situations happen in the same friggin' decade. I don't know what, because I was a teenager in the 90s. You know, you look back, you're like, wow, all this happened in the 90s?
Yeah, I was actually a young adult. I was just in the 90s. I was just literally leaving home and going to be an actual adult out in the world. And there was mass confusion going on.
A lot. Just a lot.
There was a
lot. Even so, like with the Waco movie, Waco was in the 90s. You had the first World Trade Center bombing was in the 90s. Oklahoma City was I would think that they would do Timothy McVeigh American Crime Story over Monica Lewinsky because that whole entire situation was really, really heart-wrenching. Monica Lewinsky, we all kind of know the situation. I mean, if you were around. It's just I would think that they would do Timothy McVeigh, but the Gianni Versace story and Andrew Cannon, it's getting to the point. I watched the OJ one. This one, it's getting to the point where I want to watch it, and I know I should watch it, but honestly, James, it's getting to the point where it's getting difficult for me to watch it because we know the outcome.
Don't check out yet because I think it's going to go back. And I just said this because I was late. Doing my review this week. I think we're getting ready to shift gears and we're getting ready to get back into the thing that drew us in the beginning. Because I was just saying, we don't see very much about Donatella and Gianni. We're literally seeing all of this stuff about the things that went on with Andrew Cunanan before he got to there. And it was cool but we need to see more Gianni. And I trust Ryan Murphy and what he's going to say. So it's going to be, I think we're getting ready to shift gears and it's getting ready to go back to where we need to be to keep us where we are. So don't check out just yet.
Okay. It's just getting, I watched the episode as I was cleaning the house, and I mean, there were some scenes, I'm just like, this poor friggin' guy. It's like it's almost like he didn't even have a chance. And that's what bothers me about the entire story and the FBI. I don't even know, what were they doing?
That was the problem. I'm floored that this is actually even made to television, because it literally is showing how, the more we watch, there are four or five people that had no business not being on the planet because the FBI dropped the ball.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing about it is, Andrew Kanana, and I'm not going to ruin it for people that haven't seen it, but I just have to say this. He was hiding in plain sight. It was, I mean, really? Everything, all the leads that they had, even when there was a lead that he was driving the car or the truck that got leaked to the media. How did that get leaked to the media? How did that happen? So he dumps the truck. Of course he would, because he knows the FBI is on to him. I don't understand that. If I was Don and Tella and the rest of the families, I would be completely upset after watching this series.
Absolutely, because it just seems the more we go, like it did not have to happen.
Not at all. Not at all. And it's so funny, because I remember when Andrew Kanana was on the FBI's Most Wanted list, because he was on America's Most Wanted. And I was in Louisiana watching America's Most Wanted with my grandfather. This was a couple of weeks before Versace got killed. And I kept looking at, I'm like, this is so weird. And my grandpa's like, yeah, they're probably going to kill him before they get him. And so I was like, okay. And you really didn't put – I didn't put two and two together until I woke up one morning and it was all over, like E! And Good Morning America, that Gianni Versace was killed by Andrew Kanana. And I'm like, that's the guy that was on America's Most Wanted. I was like, wow. And it just – it was so weird, because that was the summer that I learned – no, that was the summer I got my driver's license. It was I could remember so clearly. I woke up one morning and I was driving my grandfather over to the commissary, and they said Gianni Versace got killed. And to me, Versace getting killed is like the equivalent of Calvin Klein getting killed, or what was that other one that was really big, like Tommy Hilfiger and stuff like that. I remember hearing about Gianni Versace because I would watch the fashion show sometimes, you know, when Naomi and was walking, and I remember when Nikki Taylor and them were walking. And so I'm thinking, this is crazy. Now, you know, fast forward to 2018, they're making this series about it, and there's a lot of stuff that we didn't know, that they missed all these breaks to get him. I agree with you. If I was the FBI, I would have blocked this from airing. I would have blocked it from airing.
Absolutely.
They really screwed this up. They screwed this up, then the people screwed up the friggin' OJ case. I mean, mm-hmm. Honest to God. I mean, I don't know what crime story they're going to do next year. I'm hoping and praying it's Oklahoma City. And the only reason I'm saying that is because you don't hear too much about Oklahoma City and Timothy McVeigh. You hear about Waco. And there's just a whole background about what – because Waco – Timothy, it's so funny. Timothy McVeigh is a result of Waco, because he was pissed off at the government. He decided to go blow up a government building because of how they handled Waco. So the 90s was lit. I'm sorry, PV. I know we got stuff going on now, but for 10 years from 90 to 2000, think about all the stuff that you know, our generation, I know you were a young adult and I was a teenager, think about all the stuff our generation saw. Because, you know, I caught the tail end of Generation X. But, I mean, think about it. Like, it was really off the chain. It was pretty, pretty, pretty bad. But,
it makes you think, like, we had a false sense of safety and security. Like, we weren't as safe and secure as we thought we were. And it was, like, right in our face. Like,
exactly.
Let me show you that you're really not that safe. So,
yeah, and this was before internet really took off. It's before you had like cell phones. You know, people were still using pay phones and everything like that. It was just a very interesting time, and I would tell anybody that is, you know, millennial or anything like that, you know, I know we had a shooting last week in Florida, which it's tragic, and it's happening way too often. But in the 90s, I was in high school when Columbine happened. I actually remember the day Columbine happened. I was in 11th grade, and there were other shootings. There was another one, I think, in Oklahoma a year before, and it was very, very sad. But it's interesting, though, just kind of sit back and watch American Crime. I'm just really, last week's episode, I just had to stop. There was the scene in the barracks and the scene where Cunanan found his uniform. Who is the guy that plays Andrew Cunanan? What is his name?
I have no idea. I can't pull it off the top of my head. I have no idea.
Because he is awesome playing this.
He has a whole little sinister thing going on. He really does.
I mean, what, and this is going to sound stupid. What was the point of Andrew taping himself? You saw when he taped his head?
That's some type of an S&M type of situation, I believe, that he has going on, and I really don't know the origins of it. I don't know if I even really want to know.
But you know what, with Cunanan?
So strange. He's a very strange individual.
But anybody, like, okay, James, if you would have met Andrew Cunanan at a party in 1996, 1997, would you have engaged him to the level that these people are engaging him?
No, because he actually has a whole creepy feel.
Exactly.
He has a very creepy feel to him. He very much reminds me of a Jeffrey Dahmer type. Very much.
You think so?
Yes. Very strange. Very strange. Very, yeah. I mean, and the people, all of the people you keep hearing them say, you lie. Like, they've all figured it out, so he doesn't get over with it. They all realize that he's a liar, and then they even talk about it with each other. How many times do we do that? How many times do we know a person in a crowd that we're going to say, she is just full of math? But we don't put anything else on it. You know what I mean? But you say, she's full of math.
It's very strange. Even the man, like, remember the older guy that brought him to the hotel room that he taped, and he was in his underwear dancing to that Phil Collins song?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you call the cops?
And I think that had to do, again, he didn't want to tell his own story because there's more questions that go along with it. What are you doing? Like, why were you fooling around with him?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm like, the guy that's playing him deserves to get an Emmy. He at least
Darren
to be nominated.
His name is Darren Criss.
Okay.
Yeah.
He needs to be nominated. Because he is acting like I said, we don't know a lot about Andrew Cunanan, but what we do know, I can kind of see that whole weird you know, talented Mr. Ripley, I'll be whatever you want me to be, and I'll do it well because I'm a pathological liar. You know, I can kind of see that whole thing is there. It's just some shows I'm going to continue to watch it, but the episode last week, I'm like, okay, I got to detach because this is too much. It's way,
yeah.
And again, I have to remember, okay, this is in the 90s. This is not yesterday. And just to remember that. But I mean, still, it bothered me. It's just like I was watching, I don't know if you're watching The Handmaid's Tale. I would love for you to do commentary on Handmaid's Tale. I would love for you to do that. The new season comes on in April on Hulu.
I actually have not watched it, but I heard Kevin of the Scorpion Show and Miguel actually talk about that. Him and Miguel have actually spoken about that on their show.
Yeah. Yeah, please do. Your spin on it would be awesome. But there was a scene last season where, and I'm not going to give it away for people who haven't been watching it. I will say there was a execution, and you're watching it. You're like, oh my God, I did not just watch that, and it just brings it more home. Like, this is a show, but it kind of could happen. Not saying it will, but it could. And what made it even more weirder. But The Handmaid's Tale is a good one. You should do commentary on. There's another Hulu show called Harlot, which is about a brothel in England in the 17th century, and you learn about the whole. I didn't know prostitutes back then had status. Like, literally, if you were kept woman, you had status. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, you had status. If you were a mistress to a aristocrat or a government official, you had a title. And he signed a contract to get you. Like, literally signed that he would pay all of your debts and be responsible for all of your debt. I was blown away by that and how it was normal back then. And if you were a harlot, as they call it, there are certain things that you were accustomed to. It opened up my mind, you know, that I didn't know that there was a hierarchy of prostitutes in the 17th century in England. I love the costuming. I really do. I love the costuming.
Absolutely.
I love the wig.
I'm definitely going to have to check that out.
Yes, please do. It's Hulu's stepping up. I'm kind of think about it, Hulu kind of stepped it up, but your show commentaries are awesome. I know you also perform, and I checked out a little bit of your performances. What got you into performing drag?
My actual degree, I went to school for fashion design and apparel technology. So that's what my degree is actually. And I was actually designing clothes for the queen that was actually the reigning Miss Pittsburgh drag back in 1991. And I was doing costuming for her, and then it just kind of took on a life of its own, and by 1993 I was performing and competing myself. So it just kind of, that's where it started. Yeah, I mean, I knew impersonation and all of that, but it all really stemmed from me designing clothing and that kind of thing. And that was my interest, was always evening wear and costuming and that kind of thing. And in Pittsburgh, you don't really see it that much. And the world of drag was where I actually got to flex my muscle as far as design. And so that kind of, I just got caught right up in it. And I was like, I like this. I can do this. You know, when I got to actually see shows, I was like, I can do this. And I tried it, and I just happened to be kind of good at it. So 23 years later, I'm still at it. So
yeah, I love your makeup. I love your makeup, and I love how you switch it up with the wigs and everything, that it's always different. You know what I'm saying? I think that's absolutely awesome. The only drag queens that I was accustomed to, or really accustomed to, is RuPaul and Divine. And the only reason about Divine is because I used to love John Waters movies. And so I don't know how he originated his makeup or anything. I don't know how she, because I mean, to me, when I would watch a John Waters movie, I'll see Divine, I'm like, no, that I was like, that's a woman. And I'm sitting here, I'm like 8, 9 years old. I'm like, no, that's a woman. I'm like, no, that's really a man. I'm like, no. And then when I got older, I found this documentary on Divine and how her life was, and John Waters kind of made her be who she was, and they were high school neighborhood friends, and so I would have loved to have seen her play Peggy Bundy's mother on Married with Children. That was going to be the last role she was going to. Yeah, for real. Like, she was going to play Peggy, because remember Peggy's mom? They're saying she was like always, like, she was big and she was, you know, country or whatever. I would have loved to seen Divine play her mother, and that was actually the night before she was supposed to start filming. She actually had a heart attack. But to me, I like that kind of drag, like the funny. Not making fun of drag, but like,
no, it's
I
camp.
Think there was,
that, I mean, that,
yeah,
that is
it's
literally,
camp.
It's camp.
Camp.
That's what
camp.
RuPaul actually is. RuPaul just became this glamazon. RuPaul was always beautiful. He's always a beautiful queen. But I don't even think Ru even cares about that. Ru enjoyed drag more when he did the camp stuff. You know,
really?
If you go back and start researching Ru liked the busted wigs and the makeup kind of almost crappy and kind of looking like a streetwalker and that kind of thing, and cracking
what?
The corny jokes with Will France. That was when Ru was actually in his heyday, and I think that's when Ru was actually having a really good time with drag. And if you ever really pay attention to RuPaul's Drag Race, I'm not the show, but the show doesn't really celebrate my type of queen.
Mm-hmm.
That much. It's more about the camp, the campy queen, the club queen, you know, that whole thing. Is you'll always hear them talk down about pageant queen. You know, stop, they'll always say that, stop leaning on your body for the ones that have the bodies that look, you know, just like women. And stop with all this pretty stuff. We want to see you be creative. The show is really geared more to the art, you know, artistic type of drag.
Mm-hmm.
Because
where
Ru shines. That's where Ru shines.
Wow.
So Ru can't get away from the fact that he really is beautiful. He's one of the most beautiful queens.
Really is.
That there
really
is. He
is.
That is not.
And tall.
Yeah, you know,
and tall and huge. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember they had this one scene where Divine came as Jane Mansfield. And it's really, and it's so distasteful. He came in with a chainsaw and a blonde head, or a wig head with blonde hair and blood all over it. And they were pissed.
Just
like, he really got
out of order.
Yeah, they ran her out the club. And John Waters was talking about how he couldn't understand that you can't do that. Now, this was in the 60s where, you know, a lot of the gay clubs are still kind of underground because people are still getting beat up and arrested, unfortunately. And John was like, I can't believe he did that. And he was talking about all the antics that he used to do. Like, he, so funny, like, we went to England and we went to a skinhead club, and there was a skinhead that had a tattoo of Divine on his back with a bulldog. And he said, I couldn't fathom a skinhead would go get a tattoo of Divine on his back with a bulldog. That's when Divine knew that people knew who she was. But she would get up and tell dirty jokes. And I mean,
exactly.
I was serious and eat. But she would eat whole cakes on stage. Like, okay, I'm big, I'm beautiful, I'm just going to sit here and eat a cake. And it, and Ricky Lake talked about when they did Hairspray, she goes, I never knew how to walk in heels until the Vine showed me how to walk in heels. She goes, I knew nothing about walking in heels and what type of pantyhose to wear and makeup and hair. She said, the Vine showed me all of that. And she said it was the most fun experience that she had on a movie set. This is when Ricky Lake first came out. And so I thought that that was really interesting. She's like, yeah, he would order KFC, and we sit there and eat KFC all day and go over lines. And after that, he want to smoke a joint. And she said that the maid in the hotel was cleaning up his room, and she came back, and him and the maid were sitting there and laying in bed together, smoking a joint, reading magazines. And I thought that was just the coolest thing.
Yeah, just out of order. Just out of order. That's just
but
so much fun.
It's fun out of order. It's fun. And I enjoy that. And I thoroughly enjoy your videos. Even if I'm having a bad day at work or something's going on, I'm like, well, such and such show came on last night. Let me see if James put up the commentary on it. And I will watch it, and I'll be eating lunch in my car, and I'll be cracking up, especially it was Alex on If Loving You Was Wrong. Eddie was talking about her cooking fried chicken, remember, when he got kicked out the house. And he said something about you, Alex, up in here, like she cooking fried chicken or something. We got black babies cooking fried chicken. I'm like, damn. And I just. It just makes my day go by a lot quicker, and it's very, very enjoyable. And I commend you for having 20,000 subscribers on YouTube. That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome.
I love what I do over there on YouTube. I love the interaction
with
the people, you know. And I'm not only a YouTuber, I'm a fan. As well, I actually watch YouTube just like you do. I watch other YouTubers, and I enjoy it. I love it. I love what we do over in YouTube land. I really enjoy it.
Well, before I let you go, I do have to tell you, you have to watch this guy. I don't know who he is. He was doing commentary about the OJ case, and it's so funny. I was doing something. And I was listening to him, but I wasn't listening to him. And he was giving his theory about the OJ case. And he called, this is an old white guy. He said, Nicole, one reason OJ probably flipped out is because in the 911 tape, we heard OJ accusing her of doing the chicken head. She was doing the chicken head. And I'm
you know what?
I'm like, what? He's like, she was doing a chicken head. And I'm like, hot diggity dog. That just ends my night. But, James, before we go, tell everyone how you could they could view your videos, and they could also look into you a little bit further. Give them your contact information.
Okay, actually, I'm on YouTube, and I never came up with an actual screen name. I am my screen name, so it's James Caldwell. Last name is spelled Caldwell. If you search me like that, I will come right up. Now, as far as social media, I am Facebook, I'm James Caldwell, but on Twitter and on Instagram, I am Spillet Boy, all one word. And that's also my email address is spilletboy@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm going to continue looking at your videos. Everyone, please check them out. It'll make your day. Great person, great personality. And I will be seeing you all later on. I will be announcing my next co-host and my next show. Enjoy your week. God bless. As always, X's and O's, Jess. And you have a wonderful week. And again, thank you, James.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you guys later.
Bye-bye.